righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:14 through 17. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I was lost in sin's degradation. Jesus was born to bring me salvation. Lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong. Belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong. Belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for
it's a pleasure for me to introduce her to you. She is Sister Thayer, Sister Verna C. Thayer, who is our children's evangelist. And her work is known throughout the country. And if you have been using any of our Sunday school material, you know of the type of work that she does. And so it gives me great pleasure to give to you at this time Sister Verna C. Thayer.
I was really expecting him to say, Grandma. My subject assigned to me by the program committee is Stand Therefore. Now, because the Sunday school asked me to talk on the responsibility of parents, I'll try to the best of my ability to combine the two and show how they must work together. Now try and let your imagination work. You know, I'm so used to working with children who have a boundless imagination. So I'm hoping that you will have imagination for just a few minutes and think how it would be if you were to fall heir to $1 million right now. Can you use your imagination that far? Well, after you receive the $1 million, or maybe half that much, and you must find somebody to take charge of that inheritance for you. Would you just want anybody to take care of it for you? Would you just say, well, now here's my money, do with it as you please. If you spend it all carelessly, that's all right with me. Would you do it that way? No, I'm sure none of us would. We would not want to entrust that inheritance to someone who did not know what they were doing. Now, I want to talk to you about another heritage that has been given to us. And I expect to turn to the 127th Psalm and begin at the third verse to find out what this heritage is. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. And they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So God has given us a heritage, and I dare say that if you are a parent, and I would offer, you know it wouldn't do any good, but if I had it to do and could lay down $1 million in front of you and say, now, may I have your child? You'll never see that child again. You'll never have anything to do with that child again. That child will never know anything about you, nor you'll never know anything about it. Would you do it? No, you know you wouldn't do it. Even grandmothers wouldn't do that. No, I'm sure we wouldn't. So God has placed into our hands this valuable heritage. And I think we should recognize it as coming from God. Jacob did when Esau came out to meet him, and he said, who are these that you have with you? This was his reply, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Recognizing Joseph, when Israel said to him, whose are these? He replied, they are my sons, whom God hath given me. So our children are God's gift to us, and he put them into our hands as our responsibility, and he expects no more of us, only that we should take care of them for him. Now, when they're first given into our care and keeping, I like to think of them as just plastic, just clay. Something for us more. Now you know that you fed that child carefully, didn't you? Oh, I can see how carefully you bought his little shoes when he first learned to walk. How anxious you were the first day he went to school. Oh, you were greatly concerned about those things, weren't you? You thought that was your duty, but it shouldn't stop there. We should be just as concerned about it. When God placed that child into our hands, we know he intended for us to train up that child in the way it should go. for the full purpose of when he became old, he too would be trained to bring on children of his own. So many times we say the children of today will be the leaders of our church of tomorrow, but we should equally think of the child of today being the homemaker of tomorrow, and he should be trained to be that homemaker of tomorrow. Now, how can this be brought about? Only by one thing. That is the important thing, of course, when he is very small. The potter that's molding that clay is you, Mother. The potter that's molding that clay is you, Father. That's all the child knows to begin with. Very, very early, it doesn't have to be very many weeks or even days old, until it knows the sound of Mother's voice and can distinguish that voice from any other. It doesn't have the opportunity to learn the Father's voice so much, but it does learn the Father's voice. And furthermore, it soon learns who's boss. And it'll try to be boss if you let it. And it doesn't have to be very old. It soon learns by crying a little longer than usual, it'll get what it wants. And it usually knows how to do that too. Yes, train up your child in the way it should go. But how can you do that? Now I'm switching to the other part of his life. How can you do that? How can you bring that child up for God? How can you bring that child up to be one of Jesus' loved ones if you haven't known the way yourself? The potter cannot mold that clay if it doesn't know what it's going to mold. If it doesn't have a vision for that a little piece of clay that they are supposed to mold. So first of all, father, mother must have experience what it takes to say to God, I'm sorry for what I have done. I want you to forgive me for what I've done. Father, I want you to understand that when I go down into the waters of baptism, I am sincere and I want to be led and guided by you. Now, the parent must know that, must have that experience, and must have that feeling. I think so many times we leave the feeling part of it, but I earnestly contend that if there isn't a change of feeling, there has been no conversion. So the parent must have first experienced that before they can impart it to someone else. They must know what it is to feel their religion and build it into their very life. The child must look at mother, must look at father, and be able to see the love of God and the love of Jesus in the life of their parent. They must experience that. They must see it, because to them, first of all, God comes through the love of a mother or the love of a father. A father and mother who are willing to do most anything for the welfare of their child. Now, I didn't say to do just what the child wanted to do, did I? No, I don't mean it that way. I mean that they must see what is best for that child. That child must see that the parents want that child and want to live that way. in contrast to little things like this. Now, Johnny, you know very well you're not telling Mother the truth. Now, you know it, don't you? You're not telling the truth. Now, Johnny, you know what the Bible teaches, don't you? You know what Jesus would want you to do. The telephone rings. Mother goes to answer the telephone, and she talks a while. Oh, how nice it is to hear your voice. She hangs up the receiver and turns away and said, well, I wish that woman wouldn't call me again. She just takes up all my time. Have you ever heard that happen? I have a many times. And then Johnny should have said, Mother, Mother, now did you tell the truth? Of course, it wouldn't be nice for Johnny to do that, would it? But anyway, Johnny is apt to think it, really and truly, and so is Mary. So if we want our children to live the type of life they should, we must first live it ourselves. We must live in close communion with our Father and with Jesus. We must go to Him in prayer when problems arise that we have no solution. Rather than to worry and fuss and fume, take it to God in prayer and let Him help you solve your difficulties. Well, now, wouldn't it be a beautiful picture if each home was established like that? It would be wonderful to see the children brought up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. When Sunday morning came, father and mother taking their children by the hand, taking them to Sunday school and church, enjoying the service, entering into the very life of the thing, letting your children know what it all means to you. It would make a beautiful picture. But I am afraid that beautiful picture is marred many times by just such circumstances as this. The Bible gives us the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That commission has run down through the ages. But today there are more adults who are not Christian than there are those who are Christian. Therefore, it leaves some children, some heritage, without any opportunity, as far as home life is concerned, to be taught the way of salvation. So our picture is marred because of that. And then there is another picture. Many parents who are Christian become indifferent and give little attention to Christian influences and training in the home. I put that Christian, but when I wrote that word, I erased it two or three times before I put it down again, because was a question in my mind whether I should have used that word Christian or not when it came to activities such as that. Then there are those who will participate in the church activities. They'll do anything you ask them to do in church. The most willing people we have as far as church activity is concerned. But oh, how sadly they neglect the religious training of their children in the home. Yes, you don't have to visit there long until you can discover that very thing. They are interested in the church, yes, but they neglect their children in the home. I read a little article in one of the papers that told about a very famous lawyer who had written a wonderful book on law. And his son was picked up and taken into court. And the lawyer who had charge, or the judge rather, of his case said, "Aren't you a little ashamed to disgrace your father like this? Such a wonderful law student as he is." And his son said, "Yes. But," she says, "you can't blame me altogether. Father was so busy writing that book on law that he didn't have any time for me. And when I brought my problems to him, he didn't have time." I told my workshop class this afternoon that someday I was going to write a book and call it, "I Didn't Have Time." I think I could put quite a bit in that. Yes, we do neglect our children and their religious training in the home for many reasons. Now, whenever these last three conditions exist, this is the condition you'll find among the children. It's going to shatter the security of those children. Their father and mother is saying one thing and living another, and that cannot build security in the life of a child. If they cannot depend on their parents and what they do, there is no security for the child. It leaves them empty. It leaves them void. It leaves them with a lack of something they have a longing for but do not receive. And because of that, it is hard for them to obtain high ideals that oftentimes they want, that the parents refuse to see. I hope in the picture that you're going to see when I get run down tonight, that you will understand that in the life of Linda, how her parents held her back. And now we are doing that every day in our home. We are holding our children back because we are not living the lives that we should at all times. It's hard for them to build the proper character that they should build under these. But more than that, it is so difficult for them to make any progress in their Christian education. You didn't say to that little babe, "Well, I'm so busy, feed yourself. I haven't got time." But many of us are saying to these babes in Christ, "Feed yourself. I'm too busy doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I can't be bothered with you." Not only fathers and mothers are that way, but many people are that way. It's becoming harder all the time to secure help in our work with the children. Therefore, it's hard for them to live a Christian life if they have no one to take a hold of their hand. Oftentimes it must be a Sunday school teacher, or oftentimes it must be a pastor or a friend who leads our boys and girls into a closer relationship with God and His Son Jesus, and become in come close communion with our church and its church activities. Therefore, parents, are we going to be, as it reads in Mark 10:13-16? "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein.' And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Are we going to take them up in our arms, put our hands on them, and bless them, that we may see this condition? The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice. Then they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Stand therefore, parents, because you need to stand, because there is one leaning hard. If you have your loins girt about with truth, they will have theirs girt about with truth. If you have on the breastplate of righteousness, they'll have on the breastplate of righteousness. If you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, what a blessed opportunity for them. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Do you know how many times do you realize how many times our children are depending upon us for faith? How many times they say, Mother, Father, were it not for your faith, I'm afraid I couldn't go through. They are leaning hard on our faith and looking to our faith. So we need to stand, therefore, having that faith, where we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and take the helmet of salvation, Father, Mother, and more than that, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But you say, I have no child. There are many that do not have parents either, that need your hand. So, my admonition is this. When this says, stand therefore, take in that hand that child, that they too may stand for. Take another one in this hand, that they too may be able to stand therefore. If it's your own, I can see your son looking up into the face of your father, saying, Daddy, I want, when I get to be big, I want to be the man that you are. What kind of a man do you want your son to be? He is following your footsteps. Stand therefore, fathers and mothers, that your children may stand therefore also. Okay. Amen.